morning. I got to stop saying good morning because it's good morning.
It is morning. It's great.
This is Digital Dave.
Fast Eddie here. And anything can be great except for us.
Yes, there you go. And we're joined by Lieutenant Todd Story. I love name tags on uniforms. Makes it easy.
It sure does.
It's got everything but his credit card number on it.
Now, you said you're part of a C-130 flight crew.
Yes, sir.
Most people wouldn't expect the Coast Guard to have C-130s.
Sure, we get that question a lot. So what we primarily do is it's still search and rescue, but we're based out of Elizabeth City, North Carolina. So about the North Carolina-Virginia border, for those of you who don't know where it is, but we do a lot of long-range search and rescue. We cover pretty much the entire Atlantic Ocean, get calls from time to time pretty far out, and then we also go down into the Caribbean and...
That's a tough duty.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, when you say pretty far out, 1,000 miles, you know, 500 miles?
More than that. I think the longest case, I've been at the unit for 4.5 years, the longest case that we've done so far is was 900 miles east of Barbados.
Wow. How do you even begin to search an area like that?
Very carefully.
I was going to say, a lot of times they have EPIRBs or
You hope.
Emergency beacons. You go right to them.
You
hopefully.
Hope. Yeah, a lot of times that's what it is. An EPIRB will come in and somebody will pick it up, whether it's us or the British or the Portuguese. Somebody will pick it up and then they'll filter down to our unit and then we'll get the call up to go.
It's more like, you want to go? No, send them.
Yeah.
On a case like that, we had to take two crews, and we stopped in Barbados and switched out, and had another crew take over and fly out there to prosecute that mission. But
yeah, not to mention a fuel a refueling.
This is how that works. Now you have two crews on board. You land in Barbados.
Yeah, there you go.
And the second crew takes over while the first crew goes to the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish I was on that. It was all night. We flew all night to get down there, and then
wow,
and then went to bed and let the other crew go out.
Well, here's a question for you. You're flying a C-130. It's a very big airplane, and obviously you've got a long range and everything. But you've got one disadvantage with this aircraft. It won't hover. What kind of rescue equipment are you carrying on board?
Sure. So we carry 3 8-man life rafts that we can throw out together, or we can split them up as well. We also carry dewatering pumps for vessels taking on water, and we carry what we call a radio can, but we can put radio, food, water, and stuff like that into it. So primarily, we're going out and we're locating whoever's in distress and hopefully dropping what they need to them, and then another surface asset or a helicopter will come out and retrieve them.
Okay. Dewatering pump sounds large, heavy, and I don't want to be under it when it hits the water.
I was going to say, this is the one time you want the bombardier to miss the target.
We don't try and hit the vessel itself. No, it's got a long rope on it so they can retrieve it.
Oh, that was the next question. How do they retrieve it? You attempt to drop the rope across the vessel.
Yes, sir. You attempt to drop it over the bow of the vessel so that they can grab the rope and pull it in.
Yeah, because if they're already in enough trouble to call you, they're not really going to want to get off the boat and go out there and try and get this thing.
Nope, that's the idea.
Well, here's another thing I've been wondering about. You go and you drop a dewatering pump on them, and they grab it and start trying to dewater the boat, but it sinks anyway. Who gets the bill?
That's still on them. We're just trying to assist there. With the pump.
Yeah, that's the latest upgrade to the C-130. They have a taxi meter on the dash.
As far as if they're paying or not, that's all covered by that's what we do with the Coast Guard. The only time that somebody might get charged for something is if it's a hoax call.
I could see
that.
And
they get prosecuted for it.
Yeah, they should.
I'm glad that worked out well, because I could just see it. You'd have to swipe a credit card before you start the generator.
Exactly. Yeah, it's actually on the dewatering pump, yeah. Don't give them any ideas.
No, tell me about it. What kind of creature comforts do you have on the C-130?
So up on the flight deck where I sit, we have a microwave, we have coffee and water, and then we carry coolers in the back for food and stuff like that to take with us. And then we also have a chemical toilet in the back as well.
You got that huge ocean, and they got to bring it back.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't want to choke any of the fish, for crying out
loud.
Yeah,
apparently.
You know what microwave food is like.
Yeah. How many people are on your crew on a flight like that?
So, for typically, we have 7 for just standing duty for search and rescue crew. We can fly with as little as 4. And on some missions, we'll take as many as 12.
Wow. And everybody has a set of binoculars. They're all looking out the window when you get into the search area?
Primarily, we're using a surface search radar and a flare ball for that.
That's no fun.
We also do have people in the back out the observer windows, and then, of course, the pilots up front looking as well.
And, of course, the guy who has a really exciting job is the one who's sitting on the edge of the tailgate with the binoculars looking behind.
Dragging his feet.
Yes, sir. He's the one that pushes the stuff out the back.
And they call him a
drop
pusher. Oh, he's a drop man. That sounds much more technical.
Well, there you see, in World War II, they just used to call it a kicker because he'd just kick it out the door.
The question I have is that guy tethered or something, or wearing a parachute in case he forgets to stop?
We do not carry parachutes on board, unlike many other C-130s, but yes, he is tethered.
He's
to
like
the
on
deck.
A bungee cord. Sucks him back in. Wow. Mental image there, huh?
I'm telling you, that's just too much this morning.
Yeah. And you can just see the pilot, hey, watch this.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Every time somebody says, hey, watch this, it turns into a YouTube moment.
Yeah.
I don't think the Coast Guard wants to do that.
What altitude are you flying at when you drop?
200 feet.
Wow.
Ooh.
Now, at night, in rough seas, that might be kind of hard to judge.
We'll only go down... Typically, we'll only go down that low if we really need to, you know, if this situation dictates. But we also fly with NVGs.
So there you go.
NVGs. Oh, night vision goggles.
Night vision goggles.
Wow. I can't think of another acronym for that right now.
Me neither.
Mostly full glasses, MFGs.
NVG, not very good. No, yeah. That doesn't exist.
Wow.
Actually, I imagine that the NVG comes in very handy when you're in some really rotten conditions at night.
It does. If it's really dark or if it's stormy out, it's still, they don't turn night into day, so it can still be very, very dark out when you're doing them.
That begs the question, what happens when you get a lightning flash in your NVGs?
I can't say that I've actually had that happen myself, but it would be
temporary
very,
blindness.
Very bright and probably block out the goggles for a little bit.
Yeah, overload them.
Yeah, not to mention blind who's ever looking into them.
Yes, sir.
Looking through them. You don't look in, you look through.
No. You don't look through. It's got a screen on it. There's no total
pass through. The impression is that you're looking through.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you turn around and look at your crewman, he looks really weird.
They turn around and look at us, and we're really weird.
And without the goggles.
So it's got to be very intense doing one of these missions. I mean, you've got to be constantly busy looking for your victim. Victim, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right. Target.
No, target, that doesn't sound right either.
Whatever.
The intended rescuee.
Typically survivor until we find out otherwise.
Okay, yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
It's positive. It's optimistic.
Well, by the time you get called, are there actually like people in the water, the boat's gone kind of thing?
It depends, honestly. There's a lot of times when a boat's far out in the ocean and the EPIRB goes off and you just don't know what it is. Every once in a while, maybe they'll have a sat phone or something like that, and if they're able to call back and say, yes, we have an emergency, we're sinking. But a lot of times we go out and you don't know. You're either looking for a vessel taking on water or you're looking for a debris field and people in rafts or people in the water. You just don't know.
How fast does a debris field dissipate? I imagine in a matter of hours.
It depends, obviously, on the surface conditions, but it can dissipate very quickly, or if the water is relatively calm, it can stay in one area for a little while.
So. Well, that also depends upon the size of the boat as well.
Sure.
I mean, a bigger boat leaves a bigger debris trail, of course. It's got to be...
Why? Do they carry more debris?
Yeah.
You should always leave port with a standard complement of debris on board.
It's in the manifest.
Right. You thought you were going to have a serious interview, didn't you?
Didn't really know what to expect. This is fun.
Well, you'll never make this mistake again, that's for sure.
No, don't make me do it.
Yeah. So you're coming out of Elizabeth City. That's got to be a great area for off time. I mean, what is it? The beaches are not far away from there at all.
Yes, sir. You got the Outer Banks is about an hour away.
Yeah, can attest to that.
I was going to say, flying. if you see
sure a Coast, it is.
If you see a Coast Guard aircraft go by, you always wave, right?
Oh, sure.
Hopefully they wave back.
Always know who's in there.
Yep, they're going to hit him with that life raft on the beach. Hey, watch this.
Oh, no. And you guys are flying a J model, too. That's the latest
version.
Yeah,
I was surprised at that.
Yes, sir. Yep, Elizabeth City is the only place in the Coast Guard that currently has the J model. Kodiak, Alaska is supposed to get it next. But us, Kodiak, and then Hawaii, and then Clearwater, Florida is where the C-130 bases are for
okay.
the Coast Guard.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Todd. Go ahead and we run over to Boeing Plaza. They're over there. The C-130's over there. The big yellow thing's over there.
And they have a beautiful yellow helicopter. It's a, what is it, a Jayhawk.
Yes, sir.
And it's faster than any of the others because it's painted yellow.
That's right. We decided that yesterday.
Yep, the yellow ones go faster.
Yep, this is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.